Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella and Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show. It's really your show.
Howdy.
In this episode, Jill and I talk about why you should choose two sources of real estate investor education. At least two. Great show today, Jill. Let's take a question first posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Okay. This is from Claire. Hi, Claire. I put a little note in Success Plant too, telling her when I was going to do this. Claire asked, I've got a buyer who wants escrow in Southern California. In your guide, Jack, for Southern California, you say that a buyer and the seller split escrow costs. My question is that a law or regulation? I'm not going to pay for it since I've already given the buyer a significant discount, but I want to know, can I legitimately have him pay for it all? Or does the escrow company really need a check from both me and him? If so, I'll just up his purchase price. Thanks.
That's an awesome question, Claire.
I love it.
Claire's been with us from just about the beginning, and she's been she's a perfect example of from zero to hero. Here's the answer. Please make sure that this is correct, but I'm 99% sure it's correct. I don't think there's any laws at all governing who pays escrow in any way. I can tell you that historically everybody splits it, and then stuff that gets prorated like real estate taxes and some other fees and things like that, that's just historically kind of the culture that surrounds it. Incidentally, escrow itself is relatively new in the whole sea of real estate. It used to be that an attorney had to close every single deal. And escrow started in California. It was a California answer to, I don't want you darn attorney to be involved in my real estate deal. And then it spread east from there. So no, to answer your question, very simply, Claire, negotiate the deal that you want. We regularly, when this happens, make the seller pay for everything. And I mean everything, so that we just get a check. And almost all the time, or all the time, it works, or we don't go forward with it, because that's just how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's no law. I'm almost sure there's no law or reg. There might be, like, if you're using, Fidelity Title, there might be, like, a Fidelity Title rule where you split it.
Mm-hmm. And then
I've never heard of that, though.
Claire is the perfect workaround. I mean, either way, it's okay. I'm just going to up his price because he's getting a rocking deal. It's going to work out the same to both of us in the end. So however we do it is fine. That's how I roll, too, Claire. I love it.
Yeah.
So
I've done it on house deals, on SFR deals, where I say, we're going to pay for everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was just thinking like that. That tells me right there too. Because I've heard that and known that buyer's going to pay all closing costs, or seller pays all closing costs.
You know, incidentally, this is a sales tool. It's not just a mechanical. It's not an issue to get over. It truly is a sales tool. I'll tell you what sellers love to hear. Like, we're all used to hearing a price. I don't care what you're buying. Well, it costs $34. And then in the end, it doesn't cost $34. It costs $38 because there's taxes and fees and it's all kinds of stuff that goes on. When you tell a seller, if they're on the fence about selling your piece of property, and you say, you know what, you're going to get a cashier's check on Thursday for $3,400, not $38, not $31,500 because there's fees and escrow. You're going to get a check for $3,400 on Thursday. If they're on the fence about it, they're not anymore. And they really, really appreciate the direct response. And I also think that you're sending the message, in Claire's case here, she's sending a message, great, happy to go through this with you, but you're going to pay for it because the property's already cheap. Now they think they're getting a great deal, but they have to play. I think there's a good, solid psychological approach to on the buy side to sell side for exactly what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Thank you.
Today's topic, choose two sources of REI education. At least two. This is the meat of the show. As I said before, Joe, we're dedicating these five shows. I guess we're about in the middle of it, maybe five or eight shows on how to get past that first real estate deal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is one of those topics. What do you think? You talk to new members all the time.
I do.
Who come from other places where they've been educated and quite frankly disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been recommended to us. So, mm-hmm. You know, why do you think, how do you handle that? And why do you advocate not just having one place to go?
A couple reasons. One, it's important to get different viewpoints on things. Everybody brings something to the table. I'm really a fan of having multiple sources of education, and different techniques. You might take a piece of this here and a piece of this there, because you really want to find what works for you. So when we were sitting down and discussing topics and kind of this came up, and I said, I want to address this because I talked to a number of people that have purchased someone's educational information, whether it's a book or a program or just gone to a seminar or something, and they feel like they failed. They feel like they wasted their money because they didn't get anything out of it. And I go, wait, and they're like, here they are standing. Now I'm looking to you to solve this, you know? And I'm like, you know what? It's never a bad thing. I always want to make them feel good that it wasn't a bad thing. It was never a bad investment. I'm sure you got something good out of it. Gosh, if anything, it got your feet wet, got you thinking about this whole concept. And now you get it. You understand it. There was obviously something missing there that you weren't able, because now you're still looking for more information. So, you know, it's not crazy to get involved and find more information from another source to figure out what pieces were missing and get you off and running.
Right.
If that makes sense. So it's like, I mean, do you, Jack, I mean, I know you, don't go to the bookstore and just have one topic and just going to pick out one author and trust what they say verbatim. No. You know, I'm going to look at a couple different books. I'm going to get a couple different perspectives. I'm going to get a couple different viewpoints and then make my decision and how I want to do it.
I only go to the bookstore if I go to the record store first in my mind in 1994.
What does that mean?
There's no bookstores anymore, Joe. There's like
bookstores.
One.
I still go to bookstores. I'm not going to. Okay, the library. Excuse me, Jack. Okay, but online.
Not, look, all right. I'm laughing with you, not at you.
Online research. How many times do we do things too? You know, this is a good example. This is a perfect example. You and I come up with something, and then we both go off in our separate corners, and then we research it and come together with what we have. And you're going to have a different perspective. Remember the time we were just... This is a good example. We were just researching blogs. Remember that? We're trying to figure out what's the best way to do a blog and
that was
format.
A long time
remember
ago.
That?
Yeah,
this was a long time ago. Who has the best format for a blog? Uh-huh. And you and I both went off and we timed ourselves. It was like an hour.
Yeah.
Meet back here in an hour.
Right.
And have printed stuff. And both of our stuff
was so different. Right.
But we sat down and then we said, okay, I like this. I don't like this. This makes sense. And then we melded it into what we thought was perfect for us.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing. So there's no wrong education. There's no bad thing. But you got to figure out what's right and which pieces are right for you to get you where you want to be.
There's two types of members that come to us. And quite frankly, we do not accept every single person. Number one, there's a potential member who just wants to be wealthy. And number two is somebody who has already signed off or bought into or loves the idea of real estate. When somebody says, like, when they're new and they say something like this, I love real estate. I've always loved it. I don't understand why. My parents did really well in it, or my uncle has a couple of rental houses. He's real happy with that. When they have some little backstory about why they love real estate or it just sings to them, then now we have something to work with. And so when they seek some education and then... elsewhere, and then they come to us and say that it was a great start, but I really need more answers. I need the holes to be filled. I've actually heard them say that you know, there are some gaps in this, and it looks like you guys can fill them.
Exactly.
That person's going to do really well. Right. They've already signed. I'm not here to sell you on why real estate is a great way. That's a whole different thing. You're going to do that on your own. You're going to do that way before you find us. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sell you on the fact that buying dirt and flipping it or having rental houses is a great thing. That's just not. So 2, 3, 4, 5 places to get educated are great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, Jill and I are experts. We are absolute experts at purchasing undervalued property. Are we the, and I think in the industry, I think probably line us up against the greatest commercial acquisition guy ever, which I used to be. Mm-hmm. We'll knock it out of the park. I will tell you, we are not the single greatest people to go to about internet marketing media. There's other people out there that can sell anything on the internet. We're no slouch.
Right.
We get it done. Exactly. You know, we do great actually. But there are sources out there, because that's such a changing industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, changes every week. There's better sources for that. So I would highly suggest that once you get through us and if you hit a ceiling, what hasn't happened yet, but then seek internet marketing from mm-hmm. a different, you know, Jill and I actually were looking around to partner with somebody mm-hmm. who's just a knock it out of the park expert on whether you're selling shoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Lots of sources.
That's a very, very good point. I mean, part of why that's why we're so successful, right? And then on the back end, we're really, really good at it. And even we could use some help there. So good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is the technical 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000 transaction experience. If you're not sold on the fact that real estate is for you and you just want to kind of check it out, you're way not ready to invest the time, energy, and money into formal education like we provide. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to, a lot more people to talk to, and you really have to kind of look in the mirror and say, is this really what I want to do? Because if I'm going to do it, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And then kill it.
Exactly.
So make sure that you really believe in it and want to have a long-term kind of income, both equity and income, before you spend time and money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And some people think that we don't work a whole lot and we're goofing off a lot, and we do that, but there's work here, guys.
Oh yeah.
There's stuff you got to do. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm like, I don't want people to have this false sense of, oh, I'm going to make X amount a month and I'm going to just coast after a few deals. I mean, that's not the norm.
Right.
There, you know, you need to make the decision what kind of life you want. I mean, so I love what we do. I absolutely love it.
I can't imagine doing anything else.
Because I don't want a 9-to-5, but there's a lot of people that like a 9-to-5. You know, one of my best pals, I mean, I have one of my very, very good friends is a teacher, a school teacher, and she's very happy and it's very rewarding for her. She got her master's and she's here in California. And that's really all she wanted.
Jill's little brother is a day trader, or he was. He's retired from that. And I can't imagine doing that.
Oh my gosh, I would.
And he's, you know, he's like, what are you talking about?
Talk about this is the greatest stressful. Thing
ever. I love this thing.
I know. He loved the energy and the challenge. And for me, I'd be like, I feel like I'm having a mini heart attack
me
every
too.
Day.
All day, every
I am
day.
Not going to do that. So
no, those are two great opposite end of the spectrum examples.
Exactly.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. My personal favorite time of this show, Jill's inspiration. Inspire us, Jill.
Stop doing stuff you hate. Don't do it. Seriously. Whatever it is. There's two things. One, does it really need to be done? Two, can you find a better way to get it done?
You continually outdo yourself with these inspirations. I love this. This is I say this to our members. And just to people in general, I say to our kids all the time.
Yeah.
If you get up and every day you're getting up and it just sucks.
Yeah.
You got to make some major changes fast.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many resources at this day and age. You know, when we were kids. We didn't go to the library and read books or talk to our parents' friends.
Or watch TV.
There are so many places you can go to get all kinds of inspirational help or any technical advice. If you are unhappy, you know, and you're doing stuff you don't want to do all the time. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Exactly. There's a lot of resources too for free to help you get out of whatever pickle you're in. You know, that is one of the nice things. You're right about the internet and everything out there. There's all kinds of things that you can do to get yourself, like you just said, motivated and get a game plan, whatever it is. It may be something really little that you just hate doing every day. Well, you know what? Find a way to not do it.
Be your job.
Might be your commute.
Yeah. Well, it's great.
Thank
awesome.
You.
That's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Can't stand a commute, love the job.
Right.
You know, maybe commute in a different vehicle. I did that.
Yeah, that's true. One of my friends did that. Find a way to work at home a couple days a week.
I bought a motorcycle. I'm not saying you should do this. I bought a motorcycle and the commutes that I do have half the year are an absolute rip roaring blast now. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it. I jump out of bed, getting ready to get on that thing and go take the damn thing on.
I know people who have taken other jobs that might have even paid less to remove the commute out of their life. And they have for them, that provides a much better quality of life. They're just so much happier. They get to spend that extra time with their family. They're not stuck in traffic.
Here's the flip
side. They're happier people.
Maybe the commute is the best part of your day because you don't have to talk to anybody. You can listen to this podcast. You know, no one's calling. You turn your phone off. You tell everybody, I don't get any cell reception.
That's right. That's right.
I worked with this woman one time. She would book trips on an airline, cross-country trips, and she never had a trip. Her name's Terry.
What do you mean?
She never had a business trip. She would get on the airplane just because she doesn't want to talk to anybody anymore. So she would fly there for take a five-hour trip from the West Coast to the East Coast, have this little fictitious business meeting or whatever. Maybe she'd walk through whatever.
She built a company for this?
No. She was I worked with her.
Okay, all right.
We worked for the same super large company.
Well, I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. You just gave me a great idea. I have a meeting. I can't tell you about it. It's really great. It's awesome. When I get back, I will fill you in.
Awesome. Managing healthcare facilities. I was buying them and she'd manage them.
It's awesome.
And she's like, man,
dude, I'm so going to do this.
And so I, on a couple of them, I went with her. I'm like, and that was not for me.
It was for French fry. It was, you went back to get lobster and then come back. That's really was the business trip.
Well, we had all these facilities. So we'd walk through the facilities. So it was sort of justified, but not really. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It was fun though. We had a blast.
That's
Terry's retired now.
Hilarious. Well, you know,
I learned a lot from her.
And yours is so funny. Well, thank you. I think I got my point across. Totally. Whatever it is that you hate, find a way to make it fun or change it or just don't do it. Thank you.
Join us in another episode where you can burn off 20 minutes of your life and listen to us discuss how we use information. That's me.
And inspiration that you want to just keep listening more.
And then you get everything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You continually outdo yourself in the quality of these inspirational things. Stop doing crap you don't want to do.
Thank you.
You know, you could take it a step further. I don't want to blow it out of the show, but...
Nice choice of words.
I mean, look, you know, Dave Ramsey advocates filing bankruptcy to just stop the madness. So I'm not advocating
that. Does he?
That. You know,
I've never heard him say that.
Constantly,
what? Really?
Says that. Yes.
I'm always like, pay it off. Find a way to get another
job. Find a way to pay it off if you can, if you're in so deep. File bankruptcy and start over. But do not just sit there and suffer, is what he says.
Okay.
And deal with it.
Got it.
So I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just saying if drastic measures are required and you made some mistakes and you're just going to pay for it for the rest of your life.
No, that's the wrong thing.
Find a way.
Mm-hmm. That is the wrong
thing.
To hit
the restart button.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
Information and inspiration. Even though you get crazy bad looks across the studio desk from Jill to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property. If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.